The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
This is Jeremy. It's Kevin. You know that if you read the review or the write-up post, whatever it's called. So welcome back again. Hopefully everyone sees how professional we're getting with our music before the show and the slow fade out so I can stop yelling out over the music. So hello, Kevin.
What's up, my man?
Oh, nothing. I guess real quick, since we were just talking about it, and I wonder if people may be wondering this too, but where did you find dog porn, by the way?
All you need to do is go into Google Images and type enjoyment, and about the fourth or fifth page down, you can find some good doggy porn.
Okay. Now, if people don't know what we're talking about, well, shame on you, but Kevin's Definitely Live and Half-Assed Review of Raw last night had a picture that had me in tears, but I mean, I'll qualify that with I love dog pictures, especially goofy shit like that. But that one, I've never seen a dog simulating fellatio on another dog before. And I think it's fellatio, but, you know.
Yeah, well, one way or the other, whether it's Chow and Beef or going the other way, I think you can define both of those as fellatio.
Okay, I think I need to take off my...
And I don't think I've ever captured a picture of Kia doing that to Cayenne, so...
Yeah. Oh,
it
God.
It has on occasion happened, but...
There it is. You're right. You put enjoyment in, and there it is. Oh, that's good. I might have to start typing random words in like this. And I apparently must have the filter on because I'm not getting any point. Yeah, moderate. Okay, hang on. Let me go to the adult setting. Let's see what comes up for enjoyment.
Oh.
Pretty much the same thing. All right. Well, that's interesting. I figured there would have been a lot of titties on here. I mean, there should be, but.
No joke.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I'll be damned.
I guess enough women don't find those enjoyable.
Oh, bitches need to stop using Google then.
Although I'm sure the women that I met watching the Steelers game on Sunday would approve. That was the other thing about the blog. I'm like, come on, isn't that funny to hit the read more button right after I mention the lesbians?
Yeah, and then you don't go into it at all. So you just fucked everybody over on that one. You're expecting some grand story, and Kevin's just like, no, that was it. I hit on some lesbians, so. Yeah. Well, yeah, overall bad Sunday, I guess, but
yep.
What are you going to do? All right, so usually we talk about Raw because we do these earlier in the week, but we're going to start off, we've been threatening this for a few weeks. We're actually going to talk TNA No Surrender for a brief moment or so, and really not too much with the actual pay-per-view except for one match, but there was an angle that stood out on the show with... You know, Sunday being the anniversary, was the anniversary of September 11th.
Not even sure how you could forget that it was Sunday.
Yeah. Because my memory just, not that it's inconsequential, but it's like, okay, I got other shit to get to now. So, TNA started off their show with, an instrumental version. Everyone does America the Beautiful now instead of the national anthem. Whatever.
Yeah, they need to copy Vince.
The Michigan game, they did, I think they did God Bless America, one of the two, and then they did National Anthem, but that seems to be the go-to thing now. Baseball game, seventh inning, now they do God Bless America. So it's like they're just switching it up now. But they had Rosita from I blanked out. What the hell's the name of that tag
Mexican
team?
Mexican America.
Yes, Mexican America. And Jesse Neal on stage. Jesse Neal was in the Navy, and then during the coal bombing, and then Rosita, which I didn't know this, and apparently there was a story on NBC's some NBC show.
Yeah.
Where her father was killed in the Twin Towers, in one of the towers. So I mean, I'll excuse the opening part, and I feel like I need to tread lightly, but I'm not going to. I'll excuse the first part because, you know, it's the anniversary. It was a very touching, emotional, you know, day for a lot of people. So you're going to honor, you know, some of your employees. Fine. But they made a point of saying, you know, Sarita, and went over her story. So you know this going into it, okay? Later right. on in the evening, Mexican America went against D-Von and D'Angelo De Niro. First things first. I didn't know Mexican America were the tag team champions.
Oh. Yeah, unfortunately I did remember that.
When did they beat Beer Money? I honestly don't remember this.
I don't even think it was the last pay-per-view. I think it was the week or two after that.
Huh.
On Impact, or whatever the shit they want to call it now.
Impact Wrestling.
That's
it. Okay. So that was a surprise right there. It shows you how little I've been paying attention to these guys lately, because I know people say that it gets better here and there, but the live crowd in Huntsville, I believe it was, Alabama?
Correct.
Good place. I like the stage setup, but that's neither here nor there. That's for a different show. But during this match, I'm reading this off of .net just so my memory, you know.
Doesn't crap out of you like the date of the 9/11.
Yeah, as it's going. I don't even know today's date. I'm figuring it's the 13th. Yeah, okay.
Look at your phone.
Well, no, I'll start playing Angry Birds, and I'll really blow myself up. But, well, they just did, what, they just downloaded, what, Moon Festival or whatever it was? And I'm almost done with that one, so. Yeah. She plays Seasons, whatever. So anyways, Pope got mad at Rosita for something. Well, she was standing on the ring apron. And of course, being a babyface, which I don't think he's really a babyface, he decides to, you know, assault her, if you want to go really harsh terms, and start kissing on her. All right. And then she slapped him. He grabs her by the hair and is holding her by the hair as her feet dangled off the ring apron. This is from Powell's review on .net.
Yeah.
She, by proxy or by what they established in the beginning of the show, is automatically a baby face. It's hard to separate something like that because which they got to later, like her reasoning for getting into wrestling and acknowledging to the crowd. I mean, it's at Universal, but still. I mean, how do you I guess how do you book this sort of thing, or how do you accept these happenings in the match with someone? And I know it's a show, but she's being basically assaulted by a guy, which is what it is.
Yeah, there are any number of problems with this, because didn't they end up bringing her out later in the evening too? Then
yeah, well yeah. Which, before we get to that,
okay,
she gets no measure of revenge. She's not even the one that cost them the match. It's Sarita that costs Pope and D-Von the match. She gets no measure of revenge. She just gets thrown out there and embarrassed, basically.
Yeah, and Pope taunted her again.
Yeah.
Oh, taunted her coming off the ropes, spanked her in the ring. Yeah, so, no, she got no revenge whatsoever.
So then they bring her out. And they go over her story about her father dying in the towers and how he was a former amateur wrestler, I believe it was, and that was her motivation to become a wrestler. And I know why they put this on later in the show, because no one's going to cheer against this girl now. I mean, at least they shouldn't. I mean, in the immediate. Now, if she comes out and just, you know, in character, just blasts people and does an effective job of showing, you know, showing ass, then okay. But they've done nothing other than her acting like a, you know, little hoochie gangbanger chick to deserve any of that stuff.
Well, she... well, like, presenting her that way completely just kills the character. I mean, isn't she supposed to be from Mexico?
I believe so, yeah.
Am I supposed to be worried about that some illegal immigrant died in the towers or something like that? I don't know. You know, like, is she American or is she Mexican, first off?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could have made the excuse that he was, not excuse, but you know what I mean, that
he was there on business or something.
Exactly, yeah, they could have done something. I mean...
But, again, like, I mean, she can handle that, right? You know what I mean? Like, just altering the story enough to work with, you know, their ongoing storyline or something like that.
Right.
I mean, you could even have her blame Americans for her dad dying.
See, I think
that too fucked up?
Yeah, that's too messed up. I mean, all right, let me back up. If she's comfortable with doing that, there's no problem with that. Because that was her choice. If they told her, no, this is what you're going to say, then, yeah, there's a problem. Because, you know, TNA doesn't treat women worth shit, and this match is definitely
proof.
An example of that, of their booking philosophy with women. But you know, I think this was one of those moments where you couldn't and you shouldn't blur the lines between the reality of it and the storyline. And it's a good, it's a touching story, if you want to put it that way. That, you know, her dad sacrificed, or her dad's life was sacrificed, but that through that tragedy, she gained some sort of strength. One of those types of stories.
Right.
Don't put her out there with Mexican America. That's it. Done. Even if you don't want to acknowledge it and just repackage her as somebody else, or as her real name, Leah something or other, repackage the girl.
Oh, now they'd never go and repackage somebody at the drop of a hat for no good reason. Well, actually, for several good reasons, they should repackage her. But
yes.
You know, but why would you think of a quality plan like that? You know. Well, mm-hmm. And even I guess to go with that, say, hey, you know, no one backed me up. You guys are a bunch of dicks for just letting me get my ass kicked by a guy. Fuck you, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Later, yeah.
Like when they're doing that part of the promo of her.
Yeah, I mean, you could have done that if you wanted to, but they don't work anything in. I mean, shit, Brutus Magnus came out in gladiator gear for the longest time, then all of a sudden started coming out dressed as a wrestler. Okay, and then totally changed things up. But I guess I'm just confused. It's if they would have just had her come out, they do the story, and she's not seen the rest of the night. Then I guess maybe you can give that a pass, because maybe you can sort of forget about it. But to bring her out, do the initial part, come back out as in character, and then come back out later not in character, it's very disjointed. It's disjointed thinking and really stupid. But doesn't it seem, and maybe this is just me, but doesn't it seem exploitive as well?
Not really. I mean, you're on that date. If she agreed with it, it's been 10 years. I mean, it's not like we don't know that, you know, people had you know, family members in there or anything. And she was just doing it on TV herself, you know, on NBC. Like, I guess to me, that's why it doesn't make any sense to put it on your wrestling program, is that, you know, why wouldn't you make that story your own, like, for your wrestling company?
Yeah, that was something else I was going to bring up, too.
Why wouldn't you say, screw NBC?
Well, because they want more than 15 people to see it.
You know, what we're going to go with.
Yeah. No, I think exploitive was the wrong word. I don't know. It seems very awkward. They don't – her and Sarita have no backstory whatsoever. Now all of a sudden you're going to push her into the forefront?
Oh, and – well, I mean, and they don't even do anything for that group whatsoever aside from be there. I mean, they exist, and that's about it.
Yes, yes, there is confirmation they are real people and they're there, which is more than I can say for Anarchia. Here's the other thing that doesn't really jive well. The entire group is about Mexican Americans taking over America, and they don't like America, and they put the flag up. And it goes back to the whole Hernandez thing, where they're clearly going against everything he said in the past. Because remember those sit-down vignettes he had about his dad being pissed off at him when they first did LAX?
Oh.
They've never acknowledged any
about
of
that.
It. Yeah. Then you've got Sarita, who's out there. You know, her father died in 9/11. They've, you know, put it out there. You know about it. And here she is with a group that is against America. I mean, I know we're sounding very Fox News-ish here, but isn't that kind of weird? I mean, it's not hypocritical. I don't know what word I'm looking for, but it's a very confusing bit.
Well, you know, I guess I go back to everyone just goes with the people have an aunt's memory bank or something. So.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, hey, you can't even remember when 9/11 was, so.
Well, I know it was on 9/11. No, I know what you mean, though. But it just seems to me it'd be like watching a TV show. And, I mean, I guess wrestling's done this, too, with, you know, Eddie Guerrero's death and, you know, the baby faces and heels standing on the apron together or on the stage crying together and all talking about this person. It kind of breaks you up, but at least that's like the one shot, not during the middle of a show. Like they don't start Raw and have Mark Henry and Randy Orton fighting. And then after they're done at the 10 o'clock hour, all the wrestlers are standing on the crowd and Mark Henry and Randy Orton are standing next to each other crying because someone's dead.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, it's, well, and we noted the one disjointed thing that they did recently, which is Sheamus and John Cena teaming.
Yeah.
It's just like, what? This is really confusing. And then it's like, oh, okay. You know, at least there's been some time in between when they fought.
Right.
Months, well, in fact.
Yeah, and since we're getting into that, let's just move on from TNA for now. Let's just start with John Cena on Raw. And I was telling Eric this, but you and I pretty much have nailed John Cena to the floor now, and it's definitely a plays down or plays up to the level of competition with him. The promo work by Cena with Del Rio is just bad.
Yeah. But I mean, he doesn't have that much to work with either. I mean, it sucks that Del Rio is still just kind of a blank slate.
Yeah, but that's what we've been saying. When he was with Punk,
Mike Burke
went up. When he was with, I think it was Triple H. I'm trying to think. There was another feud.
No, but I mean, I even think that we mentioned it though that I don't even know if it's playing down to the competition because we don't even think that. That The Rock brought it out of John Cena. Like, we only think that CM Punk is the only one to have done this
so far. But see, The Rock, though, that's a weird one because they weren't face-to-face. They had one face-to-face sort of deal. And the last face-to-face that they had after WrestleMania, Cena wasn't bad. Because Rock tried to keep him on point, tried keeping him at like an adult level, if you want to put it that way,
yeah.
Instead of resorting back to it. But then that was about it until he got to CM Punk. But I mean, but with Rock, it's kind of hard to battle somebody when it's all taped.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, as was it CM Punk was saying on Twitter, "Hey, hey Rock, thanks for showing up via video or via satellite or whatever."
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll give him sort of a pass on that.
Okay.
And also he did do his, he went back to his old rap days, you know, threw out his little zingers here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but.
Yeah, no, it was just bad. I mean, there was no two ways around it.
Yeah. But not having Del Rio, was it last week? Del Rio was in Mexico because of the visa issues.
Right.
Hasn't helped. This week, I mean, when Cena goes into the, I will beat your ass, I will do this, I will do this, it does make you pause a little bit going, oh no. Because he doesn't need the title.
Oh, no.
So you don't want him winning because he just doesn't need it right now.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping that, well, whatever. If we decide to do a preview, we can go there. But yeah, he doesn't need the title at all. Like, there's no reason. I mean, they played hot potato with it enough here recently that that Del Rio should keep it just to stop it from being a hot potato.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We've talked about it before, but I don't think Cena needs to have the title when he faces Rock at WrestleMania. I know that's like ideal for, you know, Rock versus Cena for the WWE Championship, whatever, but I don't think it's necessary, so.
No, I mean, it's a complete waste of time. I mean, unless Rock's gonna come back, like, to me, that would lessen the intrigue of that match. You know, I would give Rock a chance to win if the title wasn't at stake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you totally.
So, yeah, if it is at stake, it's just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. But, yeah, but then also, it doesn't seem to be that the ratings are going up at all. And they went down this week, and I think, I know we were talking about this before, but I do think football had a direct result this week only because it's week one.
Oh, yeah.
So there's the excitement of, you know, it's the first Monday night game. But after that, I think using football's an excuse for losing people.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, and this what I said to you earlier, is I think it's mainly the people that are in those cities. You know, like, I don't care if this, you know, as long as the Steelers aren't playing on Monday night, I don't really care that much about the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially.
To it, but, you know, it's not like, oh, I need to skip Raw just to watch this game. Maybe in week 15 or something when the playoffs are in sight, then maybe it'd be more important.
Well, I think also for this week, you had Boston as one of the markets.
Oh.
I mean, for New England. So you're definitely losing that because that's the number three market in the country, I believe it is, for TV and TV and radio. So trust me, I've been looking at this a lot because of the old college football conference realignment possibilities. But,
oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and Miami, I think, is number 11. So you got two substantial markets right there that aren't going to be tuning in.
Yeah.
And, I don't really count Denver and Oakland because the game was so late.
Yeah, I mean, it started with, an hour at most of Raw left. I mean, half of Raw was over.
Right, right. So, but I think part of the problem is, as good as the exchanges may be, I think ending your show with a bunch of talking hasn't helped either. I mean, Triple H and CM Punk was fine. It was good TV to watch.
Yeah.
But I don't know if talking is a good way to end your show. TNA's been doing that a lot lately. And their ratings are the same, so I mean they don't give a shit. They're not going to grow at all. But I don't know. It's I mean, besides what we perceive to be forcing the issue with CM Punk and Triple H, given that top billing on the show is a confrontation, this and this, I don't know.
Yeah, my argument there last night in my blog was, you know, at least they are, you know, like everyone seems to me seems to be concentrating on the fact that it's Triple H being there. And it's like, well, CM Punk is new and I can, you know, I guess everyone still has that fear that it's just Triple H is just still going to be, you know, there after this match. And I mean, I guess I still kind of expect him almost for another match or two or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I hope he's smart enough to keep himself off the TV.
Right. Well, I think that's part of the problem, though. I think adding the stipulation of the no disqualification obviously opens it up to interference. So I don't think there's a chance in hell we get a clean victory at the end. At least I hope not.
Right.
Because I still think this is a match they could use at WrestleMania, with or without a title, you know, any of that sort of thing.
Stephanie McMahon in a cage.
Yeah, or on a pole, if it was TNA. Those jokes never get old. But no, I don't know. I just think this still has legs. It's got some substantial legs to it that really could carry over till next year. And Triple H doesn't win at WrestleMania. So I wouldn't doubt seeing CM Punk losing. And it's going to piss some people off probably, but, you know.
I don't know why you would appoint him COO. Like, even with the extraneous Nash problems, I don't know why you'd name him COO and then have him off TV. What, it's been all of 2 months?
Right. Yeah.
It's just like, seriously, like, again, just I'd rather have the consistency there of Triple H is basically the GM now. Like, they haven't ever addressed that problem, even though they still have the podium.
Yeah, you know what? And I like the fact they still have the podium out there. I don't know why, just because of the reason you just mentioned, they don't ever mention it at all. But I don't know, there's just something funny about it. You see it just sitting there all lonely in the background. And
yeah, well, and it does give them some type of ability, if they feel like coming up with an ending, of still going, oh, yeah, by the way.
Hey, you still appointed me, blah, 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 blah.
Kevin Nash was actually the surprise GM the whole time around.
Oh, God, that'd be...
John Laurinaitis was the actual... Yeah, no, I mean, you know, if you keep it there, you can at least still use it as, you know, for something.
Yeah. Now, going to the CM Punk Hunter thing, did some of it seem too insider? I didn't read much of any of the reviews on the show, so it's all from memory. I remember them talking about bodybuilder heavyweight champions, and I thought that was probably the funniest part of the promo because they tiptoed around the steroids thing.
Oh. Yeah, and...
It was like they wanted to say steroids the whole time, but they just didn't.
Yeah, well, they can't implicate themselves now, and since they've basically had a clean... bill of health recently, especially with, you know, suspending some people here and there for the wellness violation. You know, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's not good to say those words. Like, I don't ever hear Roger Goodell come on TV and, yep, I know that people are still taking some steroids, or Bud Selig coming on. Yeah, oh, yeah, Mark McGwire hit all those home runs during the steroid era.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm not saying that they should have said it. I just found it funny how they were tap dancing around it.
Oh, gotcha.
Because that's always been like the internet thing. Oh, McMahon's got a bodybuilder fetish, blah, 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 blah. Well, everyone knows what the hell that means. And some will say, well, that just means they want guys that are over 6 foot tall. And blah. No, that means they want guys that are muscle-bound action figures, basically.
Yeah.
And I just found it funny because they also didn't mention Eddie Guerrero. He mentioned Ray, Shawn Michaels, who Shawn Michaels even, you know, always backhandedly said, well, I was looking a little puffy back then. Well, how else are you supposed to take that? I mean, I know he probably means chunky, whatever.
Yeah, no, I don't think he meant puffy. I think he means what you're thinking. And yeah, no, that was kind of funny. They're like, oh, Shawn Michaels isn't that big of a guy. I'm like, dude, did you see him back in the day? Like, I was like, yep. Triple H, did you team with him at all before he came back from his back problems?
Yeah. Well, the other part I would have liked to acknowledge was, you know, Triple H. Remember when Chris Masters came back and he said something about maybe you should write a book, how to lose 20 pounds in 2 months or something like that? Or 20 pounds of muscle in 2 months? Clear, because when Masters got suspended and he came back all skinny?
Yeah.
I just found that funny. He wanted to say, well, how about all the guys who did steroids that got pushed? Blah, 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 blah. But they couldn't do it. So you're just like, I'm watching going, I've never seen two grown men tap dance around an obvious issue like this, other than like presidential debates and stuff.
Yeah, no, they were doing a lot of tap dancing because, yeah, no, I mean, they couldn't quite throw the hammer down. You know, one way or the other, because, yeah. Well, that and neither, you know, they both did a good job, I guess, of dodging questions in kind of a good way. You know, like Triple H couldn't admit that, yeah, no, those guys do get a better look.
I thought that was weird, too.
It's just like, come on, dude. Like, everyone knows, like, yeah, sure, some people succeeded, but when you can only rattle off four guys before you get to the end of your rope, then you don't have a lot of guys in mind that don't fit your mold.
Yeah. But, like but it did.
How many superstars are on the roster right now?
Yeah. I'd find it funny, though. He could have mentioned more. But, I mean, he clearly wasn't going to. I mean, Kurt Angle wasn't a bodybuilder type. Yeah, he was a little meatier than he was now. all right. Since you mentioned it, let's try and name some other ones.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could have mentioned the man who shall never be mentioned again, Chris Benoit. You had a good one with Eddie Guerrero. I don't know. Like, to me, I know that you're saying that it's mostly a steroids thing, but to me, it's also a big guy thing. To me, like, steroid-wise, like, I don't know if The Undertaker fits. Like, I understand that he was bigger before, but to me, like, I never thought of him as a bodybuilder guy.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's a twofold thing. I think you're right. Yeah. I mean, part of it is just overall, like, height, any of that sort of thing. But I think part of it is very much is the bulk part, too.
Oh, yeah.
Going back, look at WCW Eddie Guerrero.
Oh.
Go forward to WWE Eddie Guerrero.
Well, actually, Eddie Guerrero went from Eddie Guerrero to Eddie Guerrero got in an accident in WCW. Eddie Guerrero came back a good 10, 20 pounds heavier than he was before.
Mm-hmm.
And then he stacked on probably another 10, 20 pounds when he went to the WWE.
Yeah. And then his heart just said, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, pretty much.
But you don't have regular... I mean, CM Punk is probably the most regular-looking guy. I mean, JBL, but he goes to your tall description.
Yeah, and I mean, he was still pretty big, and you could always say that he can back it up because he played football and this, that, and the other thing.
Right. But he was also, like, one of those Texans, if you want to put it that way, and like, the... Stan Hansen mold.
Yeah. No, like, there are some people that automatically get a pass for tough guy, and Texans are just one of them.
Yeah, pretty much. So, But no, I'd like a, to me, it just seemed like whenever you mention bodybuilders and look at those freaks, you know they're on something. So that's how I took it.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see ice cream bars sooner or later. I think they have to bring those out because I would buy them. If they came up with them, well, yeah, I'd get some.
Yeah, well, and I think that was another tap dancing issue that kind of cracked me up a bit, was that it's just like, yeah, no, we listen to the fans, and Triple H is like, yeah, you've only gotten these guys really rocking in the last, you know, 6 months or something, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think he's been crazy popular until the last 6 months, but then again, to say that, like, in one manner, he was saying that his title reigns earlier were a joke, which means that all of SmackDown is a joke.
Yeah.
To me. And, yeah, like, I mean, they still don't, well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing more to be said about that, honestly. Like, SmackDown's a joke.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he'd point that out, to be honest with me. Like, of all the points that they could have tap-danced around, that would be one.
Well, I also found that funny because he's like, yeah, they just now gotten behind you. It's like, well, for anybody who's been paying attention to him, and his audience is the older set, people our age, you know, people read the internet every day, whether it be wrestling sites, whatnot, they still read it. And, I mean, he was on The Sports Guy. You know, so he's on ESPN, a much bigger website, or a much more legitimate website, if you want to put it that way. To me, that was funny that he said, yeah, it's only been the last few months. But he also garnered all that attention by shooting, you know, in a storyline manner. By going off the cusp in a storyline manner that WWE didn't really have anything to do with. He did it on his own, and he's now reaping the rewards of it. So it kind of goes against what everything Triple H was saying. And I know this is a very nerdish, internet-y, whatever. What do they call them? Smart fan sort of thing.
Yeah.
But truth's the truth. He went ahead and made his own mark because he thought he was being, you know, dicked around.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the other guy that I mentioned about, you know, they're kind of pushing some more people now. I mean, you know, Zack Ryder just kind of did his own thing. You know, he didn't wait for the WWE because they don't want change for the most part. You know, it's just like, I'm not doing a very, I have not organized my thoughts very well. I guess I didn't see that much change, honestly. Like, Triple H is like, oh, we always listen to the fans. And it's just like, I don't know. I've almost lost track of how many times I've heard people going nuts. And then the next week, the guy's just getting shit on left and, you know, for the next 3 months, the guy's just getting shit on left and right.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, why did you kill all that good momentum? Like, I can understand backing away from it some. But, like, completely killing a guy for, like, 6 months or something is completely ridiculous. Like, Sheamus was a good guy. It's just like, why did you take this long to dump on this guy? You know, it's just like, I don't understand. And The Miz is pretty much... he's kind of been a non-factor. I mean, now he's in a tag team.
Yeah.
As entertaining as I find it, it's still a secondary kind of a position to be in.
Yeah. And it's a definite step back. It's weird. It's got to be some sort of politics. You know, this guy, I would love to think that this was their master plan for creating a substantially stronger roster. Push this guy for a little bit, pull him back, push somebody else, pull him back, push both of those guys again. You've got two main eventers, then keep cycling it through. But it never seems to work out that way. I mean, Sheamus has been lost for how long until last 4 months, maybe?
Yeah, no, he's been lost since pretty much he won against Triple H at WrestleMania 2 years ago.
Yeah, and then we see how that worked out.
And then, like, maybe he lasted another 2 months, and then it's pretty much been a year of being down the hole.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, like, if you want to cool him off, that's fine, because you think you might burn him out or something. That's okay. Do it for, you know, 3-4 months or something. But, like, really, an entire year? It's head-scratching at times. You know, if you really want change, then it's right there looking you in the eyes, and everyone's saying he's great, and everyone's booing him. Well, yeah, at that time, everyone was booing him.
Yeah.
It's just like, what, you didn't hear the crowd then, like, continually booing him?
Mm-hmm.
And then you try to claim that you hear them all the time? It's like, no, you obviously don't.
Yeah, I think that's honestly, that's just more talky talk. It's just a way to placate people. And you got the little kids, obviously, the market going, no, they're listening to me. And, okay, cool,
yeah.
You're stupid. But, I mean, no company listens to their fan base all the time.
Well, yeah, and you can't.
No.
I suppose. But, yeah, no, I mean, it just seems like this is more of one that... Oh, I don't want to say it's more interactive. That's really wrong.
No, this isn't Cyber Tuesday or Cyber Sunday, whatever it is now. Oh, sorry, it was Taboo Tuesday, and now Cyber Sunday.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to think of how to kind of go about this. But I don't know if I can find a good way out of that one. Like, oh, yeah, no, you can't listen to them all the time. But then it's just like, it's some juncture, you know, you do need to listen to them.
Well, yeah, there's a happy medium. And it takes a good corporate responsibility to give people what they want, but at the same time, pull back. I mean, this is like this with anything. You don't want to rush everything out. You want to test waters, do this and this. I mean,
yeah, and I mean, I guess now that I think about it a little bit more, is that you don't necessarily need to. You can hear the crowd, but not necessarily. You know, that has nothing to do with the storylines, really, per se. Yeah, that doesn't really have anything to do with the storylines going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you can take them into account and still, you know, do your thing.
Yeah.
And why did it, I don't know why it just randomly hit me that just, like, sudden heel changes or sudden changes in, you know, attitudes don't ever seem to happen these days. I don't know why, but then Christian popped into my head, so.
Well,
you know. Never mind. It all, you know, it seems like it's that slow changeover like Orton did, or really like Sheamus did, as much as we're throwing his name around.
Well, is there anything else on Raw, since we probably need to start wrapping up so we don't go too long? Was there anything else on Raw that really stood out that bared mentioning? I mean...
Yes.
I mean, yeah, Kelly.
It was kind of funny. To me, afterwards, I was just like, wow, they didn't really push the pay-per-view that much, but everything that they did had some type of pay-per-view implication. You know, you had the kind of the split tag team match with Air Boom and Miz and Truth. Kelly gets to have some FaceTime, although that one was just confusing.
No.
Honestly, it's just like, man, if you're going to give her a win, you should really give it over, you know, someone half decent.
Yeah, so build her up.
Yeah.
I loved, who's it, Jim Ross, I don't like Kelly's Chances Sunday. Jerry Lawler immediately, I love her Chances Sunday. No follow-up whatsoever.
Yeah. I think I've been fascinated with the announcing teams almost way too much recently, Because that's, to me, that's been one of the more interesting things going on Raw. Like, for whatever reason, like, I don't know if it's to piss people off in the back or to just make Jerry Lawler the lone babyface announcer. JR agrees with Michael Cole an awful lot these days.
Yes, I've noticed the same thing. Yeah.
And it's kind of strange, honestly. Like, it's like, what the hell is going on here? I don't know what that deal is. Because, yeah, no, I'm looking at everything else here, and it was hysterical because the stuff that involved Raw people was all new, but the stuff that involved SmackDown people was all repeats.
Oh, God, that's right.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was basically Mark Henry's same promo. Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton had taken place already. Well, and then King just bringing out someone else for his tag team partner this week. You know, I don't even know what to think about that. Like, okay, great. Like, to me, I'd rather have someone buried like McGillicuddy and Otunga by just not putting them on TV. You know, just get rid of, like, if you have that little faith in them and you think that they suck that much, and I can't really disagree, like, because Lawler's been very clear about his point that he goes, I'm not saying that you guys stink in the ring, I'm just saying you guys have no charisma. Like, he has been very direct about that.
Yeah.
And
but I think this is one of those WWE tests, though.
Yeah.
It's a sink or swim, and they're both sinking. He's like, do you know who my father is? He's like, yeah, I know who your father is, and you're no Mr. Perfect, whatever it was. And I'm like, is this like put a fish putting the hook in its mouth sort of thing? Why would you even say that and not have a follow-up ready for it immediately? What an idiot. And then Otunga saying I'm a Harvard graduate lawyer or something?
Yeah. It's just
okay.
Like, yeah, it's just like, well, dude, you still can't speak. Like, I don't know if he'd be able to hold his weight on one of our podcasts.
I think this is a criteria we should just come up with now, because I just thought of it, but... If they were on the show, how long would they be on? Meaning, what the hell do you have to talk to them about? I'm gonna ask David Otunga, what's it like to fuck Jennifer Hudson?
Yeah.
Give me something else. I don't know.
I don't have any idea. Because, you know, it goes back to one thing that we talk about a lot, which is there are just some people that don't get enough mic time, and they're kind of getting some, and they are doing absolutely nothing with it.
Yeah, I mean, everything about Michael McGillicuddy would be, so your dad, so your dad, so your dad. Every single sentence would start with asking him about his dad, nothing with him.
Yeah, yeah.
So your dad influenced you to be a wrestler, right? Yeah. So your dad, did he leave any trunks for you? I mean, just none of the questions would be phrased to him. No, it's like the Bella twins. They're just two empty vessels. There's nothing to talk to them about. Maybe there is, but...
Yeah, well, and even the tag champs right now, as much as I like Evan Bourne in the ring, there isn't anything more to him.
I think with him, you could talk about his Ring of Honor days. You could talk about his time on the Indies and influence that sort of thing. It'd be standard interview, but at least there is something to talk to him about. Kofi Kingston, however, no idea what to talk to him about.
Well, I don't know. He seems to have had a fairly interesting childhood growing up in Africa and then going to Boston College or wherever the shit he went to.
I didn't even know any of that.
Okay. Well, that shows you how much you pay attention to Raw, so.
Yeah. No, it's the Kofi factor, dude. It's just instant snooze. I don't care. Here he comes spazzing out down the ranks. Oh, boy, here we go. He's going to jump really high and make his moves look really awkward. Oh, there's no – and then the match is over. So he's still – he had that turning point a year ago when it was him and Orton. He dropped the accent. He got serious. Decent promos. And then apparently fucked over Randy Orton in the ring, so Orton – yelled at him in the ring, and that's the last really that they sustained a good push with him. I mean, even on SmackDown, they barely gave him a chance to talk.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess that's another one. It's just like, you kind of give him that much time. Like, you're not, to me, you're not properly investing in him, I guess. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They keep on putting him out there. Like, he keeps on getting shit. Like, to me, he almost falls in that same Dolph Ziggler category where it's just like, I don't understand. You guys have been very consistent about putting him on TV for decent chunks of time every week for, you know, it's been a couple of years now. Like, I didn't even think that Randy Orton stuff was a year ago. Like, I almost want to say that was a year and a half ago at a minimum.
Yeah. No, it could. I just said a year. It could have been longer than that.
And it's just like, okay, you've spent all this time on him. Like, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like only putting a buck into, like, Apple or something like that and expecting some major return.
Yeah,
I don't know how else to quite word it. It's just like you're kind of going there, but you're not.
Yeah.
And it's just
you're buying one stock in Apple.
Yeah,
expecting that to give you a 15-fold turnaround. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and that's what it seems like. Yeah, I mean, as much as I harp on Dolph, it's just like Kofi to me is the same way. It's just like shit or get off the pot with him. Like, I don't care. Either way, just do it.
Yeah. And I'm not looking forward to a Dolph-Jack Swagger feud, which is, I think it's pretty clear what's going to happen Sunday. Swagger's either going to win the U.S. belt or cost Ziggler the U.S. belt. And then those two are going to feud. And
one of the two bland-ass baby faces that are in that matchup.
Yeah, who are the other two? I can't – offhand, I can't
– Alex Riley and – who else was in that match? Like, I mean, that's how much I paid attention to that match, actually.
Yeah, I think that was one I actually fast-forwarded, because Dolph in a tag match is not interesting, because it was all angle.
And I'm trying to look for my review, and I probably had so little on it that it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. So anyways, there's that one. But so in that respect, I can see Swagger winning it. Just to continue the feud. Okay.
And I guess Swagger to me is another guy that's just, you know, he's in that same – almost everyone in that match is in that category.
Yeah. Well, Riley's only been around a year.
Yeah,
so
I can't really bust his chops. But Swagger, Dolph, and who – and that's hysterical that I don't have the –
the mystery fourth person.
The mystery fourth person in there.
And we're both going to go, oh, yeah, as soon as we see it, too. Let's see.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to go find it now. just so I can fucking figure out. Because talking about improving my product. Eric's like, you should really just put some bold headlines at the top of, you know, each thing.
Oh, God, John Morrison.
Oh, yeah, John Morrison, yes.
Dude.
Honestly.
I forgot. I took a picture of the John Morrison action figure at Target. Yes, thank you, .net. I understand their commercials. That's great. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I had to get off there because I kept on hearing commercials in my ears.
Yeah, I took a picture of the John Morrison action figure. That he's got the dopiest looking face, and I forgot to send it to you. But,
yeah, no. Like, all four of those guys, it's just like, are your minor leagues so barren that you can't bring up someone to replace these guys? It's just,
well, it's funny.
Like, do something with them. Like I said, like, okay, Riley hasn't been there long enough, but three of those four guys, it's like, commit or don't.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Elise keeps asking me where the guy from Tough Enough is. She doesn't remember his name, but she keeps saying the guy from Tough Enough. I mean, there was a chance they could have done something with that, and that didn't work out.
Yeah.
But I mean, there would be one guy. I'm trying to figure out a way to segue this to Randy Orton, Mark Henry, before we go over the hour mark. But
they've
done a decent job of building Mark Henry up. And I'm trying to figure out how they're gonna work this match, because they've built up Mark Henry to be so strong, they run the risk of creating another John Cena with Randy Orton.
Yeah, but then that's another one where they've just bounced that title around so much with Christian that, to me, that's another one where it's like, you know, Randy Orton's winning this, right?
That's what I thought. It'll be by disqualification or count out or something. That's what I'm thinking, at least.
Oh. Well, I mean, that wouldn't be so bad if he ends up... Just have one of them snap.
In my opinion, I'd say it should be Mark Henry. He just keeps beating on him because he says he's inducting him to the Hall of Pain. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got the built-in in right there.
And then go to, like, no matter who snaps, you can go to a, what the fuck? Oh, a no-holds-barred type of match, you know, whatever style you want to go with.
Yeah. But I think that's one that they would seriously run the risk of Randy Orton becoming John Cena by doing that. I mean... I don't know.
I mean, they need someone there over on SmackDown. I don't know. I mean, I guess you can have him lose.
Yes, but I'm just trying to think if... I don't know. Mark Henry seems to be bulletproof, but if he loses, like, gets pinned, there's nowhere to go after that. I mean, I take that back. There is places to go because they gave Christian 15 title shots.
Well, they gave Christian 15 title shots, and I don't know. What are the two clowns that he keeps on talking about, Kane and Big Show?
Yeah, I don't know when those two are coming back.
Yeah, like, I honestly, when Mark Henry beat them, I don't honestly remember, you know, anyone saying, oh, yeah, they're out for surgery or something like that. Or like, Big Show's wife just had a kid, so he's taking a couple of months off. Like, I honestly don't remember any stories.
Well, remember, he hurt Big Show at one of the pay-per-views. I don't remember which one it was, unfortunately.
Right.
So there's that portion of it. I guess you're just supposed to remember and assume.
Oh, well, yeah, but I guess what I mean is that usually there's some type of, reason behind someone getting off TV for this long.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, usually there's a legitimate injury or, something else going on, you know, whether it's a wellness violation or something of the sort.
I gotcha.
You know, like, but with... both of them, like, I don't really remember seeing a reason. So, whatever. I mean, I don't know what it means, and I don't care, but, I mean, Mark Henry does have that stuff built in.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that then, I suppose.
Because...
that Mark Henry Big Show match wasn't bad, so...
Yeah. And, I mean, I guess that's the problem. To me, that's the other problem with Mark Henry, is that... even though Orton might turn into John Cena, I don't think his promos are ever going to be that terrible. what do you do with Mark Henry? You know, I mean, there's only so many people that can challenge him for the title.
You know? Especially with the way they use him now, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, he's one of those guys that, to me, it just gets a little ridiculous if, you know, he tries to take on, if they do the whole David versus Goliath kind of a thing. It's just like, well, if he can take out Big Show that easily, why can't he just, you know, do that to, and I don't even know who to bring up, honestly. Like, I don't know what other baby faces there are on SmackDown for him to fight.
Daniel Bryan.
Okay, yeah, Daniel Bryan. Like, you know, how do you work that with Mark Henry? Shouldn't he beat him in about 5 seconds flat, no matter?
Yeah, I've always wondered that, and I think that's part of the problem. They don't know how to do that. They don't know how to spread it out or work it out and establish, like, this guy can take a lot of punishment. Therefore, he's going to give Mark Henry a tumble in the ring. But that's basic storytelling, but they don't really do that anymore.
What's the use of it?
Yeah, I mean, there's the Divas. There's really nothing. I guess real quick, going back to the John Cena, Alberto Del Rio thing, and I pointed this out to Eric, Ricardo should not have had wrestling gear. He's the announcer. Now, I did notice till I watched it again, he was wearing an Alberto Del Rio t-shirt, which is fine.
Oh.
But he had workout gear with him. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. He's his announcer.
Ring announcers aren't allowed to work out?
Mm-mm. Oh. No, that's one of the wellness policy. That's part of the wellness policy. No. But I just meant,
I guess they just look like pants, you know, like, kind of workout pants to me.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't strike me as like a, oh my god, you mean people work out?
Yeah, I didn't really think of that, but I would have thought though.
Like, it didn't look like shiny, and it didn't say Ricardo on the back
right,
of it or
right,
anything like that. If it would have said Ricardo on the on his trunks, I'd definitely be with you.
Okay, yeah. To you, that's, glad I brought it up. You had a perspective that neither of us thought of.
Yeah. Hmm. To me, it just looked like workout stuff. It looked like gay workout stuff, but it looked like workout stuff nonetheless.
Never gets the workout done, so. All right.
Yeah,
let's get the hell out of here.
I've seen people in that dumb shit at the gym myself, so.
All right. Let's head this up. We're just over an hour, so that's good. We covered some stuff. I think Dusty and Eric are going to be back tomorrow. I don't know. I didn't check with Eric to make sure. But we'll talk with the
I said good for them.
Yes. And we'll talk about a preview off the air because I don't know if it's going to work out or not. Oh, God, this is the part. All right, so you can follow us. All right, anything you want to say to us, leave a comment on the actual post in there on our site. And you do that, we'll respond sooner or later. You can email us at stuntgranny@gmail.com. Then there's the Twitter tags. We are at stuntgranny, at Granny Mays, at Dusty Gabink, at DeFrango11. Eric, you have to find on your own. I think that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. So I'm going to get out of here. You guys have a good evening. Enjoy the pay-per-view if you can, and we'll be back later.
Okie dokie. For Eric Nelson, Dusty Gebank, Jeremy Mays, and Billy the Exterminator, this is Kevin DeFrango saying, go enjoy a sippy time beer.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?